Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, or saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, such as in viewers and all children of God who attend the worship online. This is the 36th lecture on Genesis. From tonight, let me tell you about the creation works of the fourth day. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the fourth day. In astronomical terminology, God created our galaxy during the first day of the creation. With the exception of the Earth, God created all of the celestial bodies of our galaxy on the fourth day of a creation. I said that before God began the 6 days of a creation, He had already created the Earth. Then when were the other countless galaxies created in the addition to our galaxy? Is there any evidence that the universe was not formed from the massive explosion but that God created? If any, what is that? Also, it seems that the light of the sun, large light, is sufficient for life to live on Earth. So why did God create the moon, a small light? What changes occur on the Earth after the sun, moon, and the stars were created? From now on, let's go on a journey with me into the vast universe to find the answers to all these questions. Let me show you, it's a bit difficult to go on a journey because math concepts or other things are unfamiliar to you. Please understand it. First, let's look at the photo that gives you a sense of how vast the universe is. This photo was sent back by the probe Voyager 1, which took pictures of the Earth near the Pluto in June 1990. Can you see a dot? It said that the Earth is no bigger than a single dot. The Earth is smaller than a point in space. This is a view of the Earth from the solar system. If you look from the further space, it will be difficult to find the Earth. When you look at the Earth from the Pluto, it is this small. Find out where the Earth. Can you find it quickly? This small thing is the Earth. Can you find it? Can you see it? After launch in September 1977, photos taken from the Pluto were sent 12 years and 9 months later. Data was also sent in April 2010, approximately 33 years later. Did you see it? A circle with a dot. It's too small to see it. When viewed from the Pluto in our solar system, the Earth only looks like a dot. That means the Earth is small. So if you look at it from space, you can't even see it. What would you see if you look at the Earth from the universe tens of millions or billions of the times larger than our solar system? You can't even see it at all. Can you find the Earth in the picture? This photo is nicknamed the pale blue dot. In the vast space of space, we can see that the Earth is just a small dot emitting a faint light. This is the Earth as seen from the edge of the solar system, about 6.4 million kilometers from Earth. The solar system is also very vast, with its edges 6.4 billion kilometers away. However, this solar system is just a dot in space. You can see how vast the universe is. When viewed from the space, the solar system is just a dot. The solar system is just a small dot in the entire universe to the which the Earth belongs. When you look at it from that small point, the Earth is that small. So what lies beyond our solar system? There's a galaxy. The diameter of our galaxy, which Earth belongs to, is the distance it would take about 100,000 years to travel at the speed of light. This means that, there are many galaxies that the Earth belongs to the galaxy that the Earth does not belong to. What is the diameter of our galaxy where Earth belongs? This means that the diameter is the distance it would take about 100,000 years to travel at the speed of light. The speed of a light goes 300,000 kilometers in 1 second. Light travels around the Earth 7.5 times in 1 second. At such a fast speed, the light has to travel for 100,000 years. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years to reach the diameter of the galaxy. You can see how wide our galaxy is. Does your head hurt? You don't want to imagine it, do you? It said that is the 100,000 light years, which is the distance must be traveled in 100,000 years at the speed of light. I'm confused too. A collection of the dozen of the such a galaxies is called a galaxy group. There are dozens of galaxies with a diameter of 100,000 light years. Please understand and follow along. I tried to explain it slower and slower. When hundreds of the thousands of galaxy groups gather together, it's called a galaxy cluster. Galaxy cluster. Do you feel a headache? We don't use a unit above 10 quadrillion, even in mathematics. Instead, we use the units like 10, 100,000, 10,000, 100,000, millions, 100 millions, billions, 900 billions, 200 billions, 300 billions, 400 billions, 900 billions, and the trillion. I explained the galaxy clusters so far. Additionally, a collection of such galaxy clusters is called a supercluster. Supercluster. This is the extent of the space classified by the astronomers. Just by hearing this, can you imagine its size? It takes about 100,000 years at the speed of light to go from one end of our galaxy to the other. But this distance is actually hard to imagine. It's even more difficult to imagine that the size of a galaxy groups and the galaxy clusters. It's very difficult to calculate the distance of the galaxy cluster even if it runs with a light. We cannot calculate it. The space one just mentioned is only a part of the fleshly world. That is the first heaven. Besides this vast first heaven, there are other heavens. They are the second, third, and the first heavens that belongs to the spiritual lamb. God governs and reigns over all these heavens. Originally, these heavens were one, and it was called the original heaven. God, the origin, existed in the original spaces in the form of the light that contained the sound. at one point of time, got the origin, cohere at the vertex of the spiritual realm for the human cultivation. Due to this, four spaces came to exist with a different brightness of the spiritual light and a different density of the spirit. The intensity and the density of the spiritual light is higher the closer you are to the peak of the spiritual world. The original space, which was originally one, now became four. God called these four spaces the first heaven, the second heaven, and the third heaven, and the first heavens, respectively. What we call the space where we live is the first heaven. I said the first heaven is too vast for a man to imagine. Dear brothers and sisters, this vastness of the first heaven, which is the fleshly world, is very small when compared to the spiritual realm. The first heaven, which is so vast, it cannot be calculated, and this physical world are very small compared to the size of the spiritual world. There's a parable to help you clearly feel the size of the fleshly world and the spiritual world. Say you give an ant an island which is big as in Hawaii. The ant cannot comprehend how big the island is. If it could rationalize, it may just think that it's too big to travel. However, Hawaii takes only a tiny space on the surface of the earth. Hawaii is very small compared to the rest of the earth. Therefore, even if you tell the ant the size of the earth, the ant cannot imagine the size at all. Here, the ant is comparable to us as a human beings. Hawaii is then comparable to the first heaven, which is the fleshly world. On earth, only Hawaii is like a physical world, and the rest is like a spiritual world. Do you understand? Listen carefully. If you have other distracting thoughts, you will miss it. Then you can imagine how vast the spiritual realm is. Of course, the proportion of the fleshly world to the spiritual realm is not exactly the proportion of the Hawaii to the earth. I just compare them to help you understand the difference. At the point in the physical world, which is very small compared to the spiritual world, God first created the earth for human cultivation. And on the first day of the creation, He created the sun and other planets and the satellites of the solar system. He also created the stars of our galaxy. Then when were the countless stars outside of our galaxy and the entirety of the other clusters body created? When you listen to the scientific contents like this, listen with a faith rather than study. God has unfolded and created such a vast things. So how much infinite of power and ability can He give us? He can give us infinite power. So when were the countless stars outside our galaxy? That is all the other celestial body created. That the answer is that they were created before the creation. Before the original space was divided into the four spaces, there were countless stars. In the empty vastness of a space, God, the light of that contained the sound, was not alone. God, the original, already created the countless stars before the creation and put them in the original space. And then the original space was divided into the four spaces. Those stars which were in the first heaven by that time are the stars outside of our galaxy now. Therefore, there were countless stars already in the second and the third and the first heavens. Even before the first heaven was created, the countless stars already existed, and God created the earth, the sun, the moon, and stars in a certain part of the first heaven. The universe was not formed from Big Bang, just as a scientist proposed. Everyone think about it. This tiny galaxy alone has a diameter of 100,000 light years, but how could a galaxy like this that be created, the big explosion, and form such a huge galaxy? Would a big explosion cause the stars to fly 100,000 of light years away and settle down? Does this make sense? Scientists, a professor, and the doctors, does this make sense? Are you saying that the stars spread out across this vast universe continue to fly away in a big explosion, flying at the speed of light to hundreds of millions of light years and taking their places? This is absolutely impossible. But it makes no sense to claim that it was caused by the big explosion. I feel so sorry about that. That's why God the Father explained it to us through the Genesis, the existence of the dinosaurs, and the formation of the universe are different from what scientists claim. Scientists who propose the Big Bang theory have grounds in their own way. As a scientific technology developed, they came to know that the universe is not stagnant, but that it's keeping expanding. As they observed the other galaxies from the Earth, other galaxies were found to keep receding from the Earth. Based on this fact, scientists proposed a theory. Since the universe is currently expanding, it may have been expanding in the past as well. How many years has the universe have been expanding? Also, how long have scientists known this? Also, if a universe has expanded, how much would it have expanded? Scientists' theory keep changing over years or decades. When I was in elementary school, I learned that there was 300 million stars. There are countless stars, but when I was young, science said that there was 300 million stars. However, as time passes, science continues to develop and eventually different results are announced. Science said that as we trace back to the remote time, the universe must have been much smaller than now. At the certain time point in the past, the universe must have been as small as a speck. For some reason, there was a Big Bang in such a small universe, and it continued to expand to become a universe as it's now. This is the famous Big Bang theory. As this Big Bang theory was established, many scientists received a Nobel Prize in this field. When examined based on the given fact only, the Big Bang theory seems to be a well-established theory with a firm evidence. However, the Big Bang theory is still incomplete. Since it was first proposed, it has been corrected many times, and it can be corrected any times depending on the result of the future observation. Besides, no matter how highly scientific technology develops, there's one thing that man can never explain. The fact is that the Big Bang theory does not explain the first moment of the Big Bang. The Big Bang theory doesn't explain the very initial Big Bang. It rarely explains some time after the moment of the initial massive explosion. In other words, we can provide a theoretical explanation for the aftermath of the Big Bang by the mobilizing all of the mathematics and the physics. If the Big Bang theory were true, however, it should be able to explain not the after effect of the Big Bang, but the moment of the Big Bang itself. So far, not a single scientist has ever succeeded explaining the moment of the Big Bang. However, moreover, scientists agree that is the field that no future scientific technology will be able to explain. It's because there's a limit to what can be explained with a fleshly knowledge. No fleshly theory can explain the work of the God's creation. Science cannot explain how humans appear. Science cannot prove why we humans are the only ones looking for God when there are so many animals and birds. But you know the answer, why are only people seeking God? However, no matter how clever the monkey is, educated the animals for 10 or 20 years until it dies, does it know about God? It doesn't know God. Even children will understand if you teach them about the God at a very young age. Therefore, the work of the God's creation can never be explained with a fleshly theories and knowledge. Now you may have a question. It's a fact that the universe is expanding based on the scientific observation, but why is that? Why did God create the universe of the first heaven as an expanding space, not as a stagnant space? The reason is to make a purifying action take place through the expanding of this freshly space. It's to purify the space. The seas that the area are two-thirds of the earth is indeed the stagnant water in a big vessel called the earth. It may decay as the time goes by, but why don't the sea waters decay? First, it is due to the salt contained in the sea waters. After another important reason is that the sea waters keep moving due to the ebb and the flow. They don't decay. Earth's sea water is also purified by the moon. Because the moon is in that position, the Earth's oceans have a low tide and a high tide, so the salt in the ocean moves instead of sinking, and it plays a role in preventing the water from rotting. The sea water is keeping moving by the high tide and the low tide. The tide also creates the wind, which circulated the earth's air. Temperature and the humidity are regulated by the wind. When the tide comes in, the wind comes too. When you stand at the beach, when the tide comes in, then the cool wind blows. So you feel breathing. So this means that because the sea water moves, it does not rot. By the same token, the first heaven should not stagnate, but it should be keep on moving. If you stayed quite long in a place where the ventilation is bad, the air becomes stuffy. To the eyes of a God who governs all the heavens, the first heaven is comparably a small space. Therefore, by making this space keep expanding, God made it possible for it to be able to purify itself. So the earth performed various functions as it rotates and orbits. However, once a human cultivation is completed, this first heaven will close. Regarding the Revelation chapter 21, 1 says, "And I saw new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away." It said that there's no more sea. Here, the first heaven and the first earth refers to the space of the first heaven where we live. Once the human cultivation is over and the final judgment comes to the end and the first heaven is no longer necessary. However, the first heaven fleshly space was divided from the original space, so it doesn't become completely extinct. God just closed the gate to the first heaven. Tonight, the scriptures mention the expanse of the heavens a couple of times. God let the great light, which are the sun and the moon, be in the expanse of the heavens. And God also created the stars and let them be in the expanse of the heaven. Why did God call it the expanse of the heavens, not just the heaven or expanse? It's to show that the sun, the moon, and stars are not close to the earth, but they are far from the earth. Today you know how far the sun, the moon, and the stars are from the earth thanks to the highly developed science. However, the ancient people didn't know how far the sun, the moon, and the stars were, and how big they were. If God called this just heaven or expanse, people might think they are floating in the sky at that close distance. God uses the name the expanse of the heavens to express that they are located in a different space than the sky. The expanse of the heavens refers to the outer space beyond the Earth's atmosphere. God put the precise meaning even in the single word and recorded it in the Bible. There's one more you should pay extra close attention to. It's an explanation about the size of the sun and the moon. God called the sun the greater light and the moon the lesser light. When we see from the earth, the size of the sun and the moon is almost identical. When it's a full moon, the moon looks even bigger than the sun. If a child who is sure of the knowledge is asked which of the two is bigger, the sun or moon, then the child will answer according to how it's seen. It was the same to the ancient people who lived in the days of a not-so-developed science. If it were to show the brightness of the sun and the moon was different, God would say the sun was a brighter light and the moon was a lesser bright light. However, God called the sun the greater light and the moon the lesser light. Even this word contained the exact meaning God mentioned. God could call the sun a bright light, but He didn't do that. He accurately expressed the difference in not only the brightness, but also the size of a sun and the moon to help people understand them. So, how much bigger is the sun than the moon? When we see them with a naked eye, they seem similar in size. So, is the sun 10, 23 times bigger than the moon? Don't be surprised, please. Is the sun about 1,000 times bigger than the earth? Sorry. I'm sure you all have been educated and learned enough, but there are many of you who have graduated from the school a long time ago and have forgotten the science content. So I would like to remind you. The sun is about 1.3 million times bigger than the earth. Not 1,000 times. 10,000 times or 100,000 times, but about 1.3 million times. This means that the sun is that much bigger than the earth. The moon is said to be about 1/50th size of the earth. The moon is so tiny compared to the earth. The sun is about 6.5 million times the size of the moon. When we see it with our eyes, it looks similar, but because the sun is so far away, we see less of it. Though the size difference between the sun and the moon is so great, they look the same in the size because the moon is much closer to the earth than the sun. Genesis chapter 1, 14 says, Then God said, Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. By creating the sun and moon on the first day of the creation, God divided the day and night. However, God already separated the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night. And thus the day was separated from the night already from the first day of the creation. But after creating the sun and the moon on the first day of the creation, why did God again say, Let the day be divided into the night? When God said, Let there be light on the first day of the creation, the original light surrounded the earth. During the day, as the light surrounded the earth, God manifested the works of the creation, and He withdrew the light for the length of the day and gave the rest of the time to the forces of the darkness. From the first day to the third day of the creation, when God surrounded the earth with the original light, it was the day, and when God withdrew the light, it was a night. Therefore, for the 3 days, even though the earth didn't rotate, there were days and nights. However, after God created the sun, the moon, and the stars on the first day of the creation, the earth began the rotation and the revolution. As the earth rotates, the surface of the earth that faces the sun becomes the day, and the other part becomes the night. The day and night now automatically begins to change. Before then, God governs the change of the day and night, but now God let the sun, the moon, and the stars manage it. Let me explain it with an explanation. Someone made a robot, but this robot couldn't move by itself. He had to lift the arms of this robot to make the arm be lifted, and he had to move it the feet for every step. Only when the master of the robot made the movement machinism of a robot, could the robot move. Then he put the clockwork inside the robot. He made the robot move by itself as he winds up the clock. Then without even touching it, the robot could move by itself. It is the same with the earth. Until the third day of the creation, the earth was held by the power of God in the space, and the day and the night changed by God. But then as the sun and the moon and the stars were created in the first day, according to the law that God set up, the earth began to operate by itself. Here's one more example. A watch has a four hand, the minute hands and the second hands. And our hands. Without the battery, if you move the second hand, the hour hands and the minute hands will also move together with it. And the watch can be operated in this way. If you put battery into the watch, the hands of the watch can move automatically and it tells you the time. From the first day till the third day of the creation, God Himself moved the hands of the watch manually, but from the first day, the hands began to move automatically. You got it? If you disassemble the watch, you can find that all the big and small saw tooth wheels work together to tell the precise time. By the same token, God planned so that the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars could operate automatically in harmony. God created them, taking into consideration such as the distance between each object and the strength of their pulling and pushing. If the sun or moon were a little bigger or smaller than today, no living things could survive on the earth. If the sun were farther away than it is now, we could all freeze to death. And if it were closer, it would be too hot to live on the earth. God placed the sun and moon in the correct location. So on the earth, the high tide and the lower tides occurs, the temperature and the humidity are regulated, and the wind blows. This is how God distributed everything, designed it accurately, and did it. How funny is it that this was caused by the big explosion? There are so many stars and the universes, so why is there only life on the earth? Someone says there is a life like this on other universe beside the earth. But no, it can't happen. Also, if the size of the sun and moon were just a little bigger or smaller, life would not be able to live on the earth. The same is also true if the distance between each of them were closer or farther. It feels even more absurd to say that the sun, moon, and the stars happen to be that size and are in the location in the aftermath of the Big Bang. And in a way, the stars are all very different in size. Some stars are incredibly large beyond the imagination. No matter how small a star is, it's a hundred of the thousands larger than the Earth, but these stars look the same to us. There are countless evidence that God the Creator, with the highest degree of the wisdom and the knowledge, planned and created all things from the beginning. I will explain the evidences of the God's creations contained in the sun, the moon, and the stars in the next lecture. And Father God gave each stars their own duty. Let me conclude it. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight I explained some of the creation works of the first day. The earth that we put out fit on the very tiny planet in the fleshly space of the first heaven. It may be compared to the one speck among the countless grain of the sand of a beach. If you compare the size of the earth to the size of the entire spiritual realm, you may even safely ignore its existence. If you can't understand the vastness of the universe that God created, you cannot but respect and fear God. Psalm chapter 8, 3 to 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of a man that you care for him? God the Father always thinks of human beings who live in the tiny little earth of the vast universe, and He gives them advice of love in various ways. Among the countless celestial body of the vast universe, He pays the very special attention only to this earth. Why? That is because the true children of God are being born on the earth. He chose this earth and created all the sun, moon, stars, sea, land, grass, birds, flowers, and beasts on it, and then cultivated with humans. So he made here everything needed for cultivation. Through the human cultivation, the true children who can understand the deep heart of God the Father, who can fear God from their innermost heart, who can share the true love with God forever and are being born on the earth, I hope that you can feel the deep love of God in the creation works that God manages. May you love God from your inner heart and also enjoy His love in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues and cells and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.